Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his home. Sweet song. Wake up, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours.
The Addicts edge a 5-goal thriller and win consecutive games for the first time this campaign. The new manager bounce is paying off. Welcome to Charlton Live. Yeah, it's a new manager bounce, I think you'll find. He's got his full-time job and he deserves it as well, Lee Bay. Good evening, welcome to Charlton Live. My name is Louis Mendes and we've got a packed studio here at the Valley where we're going to talk about yesterday's 3-2 win over Wycombe Wanderers. So joining me here in the studio at the Valley is Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Good. Yeah, very good.
In a good mood after yesterday?
Pretty chipper, yeah.
Pretty chipper. You're feeling well then?
Better than I was yesterday, yeah. Excellent. Wasn't very well yesterday.
Hungover. Really. Tries to blame it on the dodgy kebab. Joining the two of us in the studio is Nathan Miller. How are you doing, Nath?
Yeah, good. Living the dream.
Living the dream as per always. 3-2 win.
Looking yes.
Glowing with...
Another one.
And... Oh.
And... Oh, yeah, Jacko's.
Jacko Jackpot comes in again.
2 weeks in a row, yeah.
£48 we've won over the last 2 weeks for the upbeats. They're all going to be turning up to games in Lamborghini soon at this rate, aren't they? But, joining the three of us here at the studio, like I say, it's a packed house, is the grand old man of Charlton Live, Terry Smith. How are you?
I'm doing superb, and I want to know where you buy your Lamborghinis. for 48 quid.
Yeah, we say you could drive them, even if it's like little toy ones.
Yeah. Right, so on tonight's show we will look back at yesterday's 3-2 win, 5-goal thriller against Wycombe Wanderers here at the Valley. We're going to hear our exclusive interview with Lee Bowyer after the match. We're also, of course, going to hear the highlights of the game. Then we're going to hear from you guys as well. You can have your say on yesterday's game. Who stood out for you? Who was it that turned the game in Charlton's favour? What did you think about the fact we swapped the goalkeepers? Anything you want to talk about, studio@charltonlive.co.uk on the email, at Charlton Live on Twitter. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show as well if you want to talk about anything on tonight's show. Don't forget, later on in the show we're going to hear from Lyle Taylor, goal scorer yesterday. He's doing something for charity next month. You may have read about it. He's going to be dyeing his hair pink for the month of October. He spoke about that in the press conference yesterday, so we're going to hear what he said, why he's doing that, and we'll let you know you can donate to him later on in the show as well. So before we hear the highlights, interesting fact, my level of interesting is that we've played Wickham 5 times ever in league football. We've beaten them every time, and it's always either been 2-1 or 3-2. Fascinating fact. What did you think about the game?
I can't follow that, can I?
No.
In terms of fascinating fact. Then the one thing that hit home is when I, in the commentary yesterday, just before I started, I'd actually downloaded all the stuff for, and there wasn't a lot. As you say, we've only played them 5 times, so it didn't take a long time. But the last time we played them at the Valley, and we won 2-1, was when we were crowned as champions of League One.
Yes.
The goal scorers were Jan Kermigan and Dale Stevens.
Yeah.
Just to set the mood.
Oh,
exactly, yeah. But other than that, thoroughly enjoyable. Yeah. It was, I'll rephrase that. The first minute was thoroughly enjoyable. The next half hour was utterly painful. And then something clicked and we changed. The fluky goal, I suppose.
Yeah, that's perhaps changed the game in our favour. I mean, I felt, Tom, that Charlton performed in spells yesterday, and it was during those spells that we showed our quality. Outside of that, it was a fairly even game with Wickham at times. That you could probably say they dominated the opening half an hour. If not dominated, it certainly looked comfortable in the opening half an hour.
Yeah, definitely comfortable. I think we were poor for that half an hour, but you're right, when the first goal came, because it was our first passing move of the whole match. And when we clicked yesterday, we looked as good as I've seen us in a long time. If we can get that together, then we look like we could be a very dangerous side this year. And I suppose the thing you'd say is that it wasn't our best performance, or certainly not for the whole game, and yet we've still come out winners. And when you start to do that again, perhaps you're a team that people will start to take a bit seriously.
Yeah, we just saw little flashes of what we are capable of. It was a nervy last 5 minutes or so of injury time there, Nath.
Yeah, as always, we never do it the easy way, do we? We never win comfortably. But I thought we was comfortable up until that point, but then they had to throw everything at us, didn't they? And luckily, well, not luckily, gladly, we didn't concede a third, because I wouldn't have been surprised if we did. Luckily we held on.
Oh, excellent. Well, proof that we didn't concede a third is in these highlights coming up here. Just a quick point, for the more attentive of you who may notice that for the Charlton second goal...
My voice changes.
Terry's doing a fantastic impression of BBC Radio London's Phil Parry, because I forgot to start recording at the start of the second half, and it's only after the second goal that I realised. So at one point it changes commentator, but other than that, this is the Valley Pass highlights yesterday of the 3-2 win over Wickham.
Thompson takes it up, corner of the penalty area, ball into the box, it's a shot, and it's gone past here. And in for the opening goal in 6.5 minutes. It was Williams that picked it up from the throw, advanced to the left-hand corner of the Charlton penalty area, drifted inside and just unleashed a shot beyond Jed Steer and into the right-hand corner, and Wickham have the lead.
There's nothing Steer could do about that on the first watch. Terrible defending, though, from Charlton. There's a triangle of Wickham players on the right-hand side. There's easy for them to create in the opening. I think one of the back three of Charlton, maybe Saar or one of the midfielders, is hard to say, didn't get tight enough, didn't stick to their man Williams. But Williams just cut inside and just went for goal. It's a glorious finish, in fairness to Williams. But Wickham, the last couple of minutes, just started opening a lot of possession, started creating a little bit more and looked a bit dangerous. And on that occasion, it was perfectly timed finish from Williams, but Charlton will be so disappointed. Solid defensively. Ball to the edge of the box to Taylor, lays it off for Aribo. Aribo trying to work an opening, out left to Page. Charlton building here. Page, ball into the box, deflection, yeah! It's an own goal! And out of nothing, really, Charlton have the equaliser. Lewis Page's cross coming off the deflection off of Jumbati, I think. And a defender with a real unfortunate goal has gifted Charlton back into this game.
Well, it was a great move that caused it. Just at the back, Jason Pearce was getting in front of Akinfenwa, not allowing him to dominate. And that just set the tone. And then you mentioned it on comms where you had Bauer, Prattley and Solly all battling. Now, they didn't all win every single battle, but they at least they competed. And the ball ran to Charlton, ran to Chris Solly. Lovely move down the right-hand side, and it stretched Wickham a little bit, and it allowed Lewis Page to have that space on the left-hand side, found by Aribo. He got the better of his man. The cross into the box, I think, would have fallen to Lyle Taylor if it hadn't taken the deflection and gone in. So I think he had to make some contact with it. I didn't see who actually got the final touch, by the way.
I think it was Jumbati towards Page on the left-hand side. Page, a good header down the line to Taylor. Taylor gets a little bit lucky, and a reverse ball finds Jose. His reverse ball finds Carlin Grant, saved by Allslot. The deflection punched away again by Allslot, And that was a glorious chance for Chelsea. And now Grant on the run. Grant being allowed to run into the penalty area. Grant, chip ball back towards Taylor. Kick! Goal! Just over the bar. And that is half-time whistle.
Joe Rebo now has it. Edge of the 18-yard box. Slides it through towards Grant. And he puts it to the far post. And it's smothered in by Lyle Taylor. The ball recycled at the far post. And Lyle Taylor turns it in from a yard out. Charlton at the covered end of the ground. Take the lead for the first time this afternoon. It's Charlton 2, Wickham Wanderers 1.
Yeah, real composure. Aribo slotted in Grant. He shot. Went right across goal. But they kept it alive at the far post. It was turned back in him from close range. I think for his efforts and his work rate this afternoon, Taylor has deserved that goal. And we said there's a goal coming. Charlton back in front.
And superb work on that far post by Patrick Bauer. The low ball had come across from Carlin Grant. It'd gone too wide of the goal for Bauer to get a shot on goal, but he had the vision just to play it back into the middle. And Lyle Taylor, though, was under pressure. He had to bundle it home from close range. He got one in very similar circumstances last week, bundling home from close range. That's why we've signed him. That's why Charlton signed him. That's his job, and he's doing it so far. Fourth goal of the season.
Reeves is about to chip this ball towards the penalty area. Does so. Naby Sarr on the run. He gets there. Sarr. Can he finish?
Yes!
Come on! Naby Sarr! Goal scoring machine!
Come on!
Centre half has bagged another one, and Charlton have a 3-1 lead.
Oh, it's so simple in here for Naby Sarr. Great ball in from Reeves, though. Sarr won the first ball. It just ricocheted down, and it's just this big man mounting, just coming, ploughing through. This is my goal. I want it. And he manages just to poke it with his right foot past Allslot. And Charlton, after a disappointing first half, I think it's fair to say, second half have really grown into the game. And now the two-goal cushion.
The corner comes in towards, and it's a header from the substitute Hall, I think that was. And Wickham have a goal back.
Yeah, it's a little bit soft from a Charlton perspective, a little bit frustrating. Talked about this two-goal cushion, and we've been really comfortable the last 10 minutes. And just the ball comes in, Cowan Hall with a header. Gets Wickham back in the game.
And there is the final whistle. Charlton have seen it out. And runaway 3-2 winners.
Lovely old stuff there. Terry, your Phil Parry impression is second to none.
I think it's excellent. I'm going on stars in the right now. What's the talent contest now? Yes. Britain's Got Talent.
Greg doing Bradley Allen as well.
Yeah excellent. Well done to everyone there. Excellent to hear the highlights of yesterday's game. It was an exciting game that Charlton came out on top in. But as we said, like, we played in spells, and you could hear the relief when that first goal went in from Terry cheering the own goal, because up until then, I don't think we'd really registered an effort on goal.
No, I thought they started much the better, and looking back, I don't think they were a very good side. So it was us starting sluggish, which we've not really done too much, I wouldn't have said, so far this season. But we started really poorly. We gave them far too much space. We were just saying before we came on air, we seem to be making a conscious effort not to close down the ball in wide areas to let them cross it in, not to be too tight to Akinfenwa despite his size. And it looked like that was a decision that was taken, which obviously we changed later on. But that played right into their hands. And that Williams, who obviously went on to score, was their most dangerous player going forward by quite a long way. And yeah, it was nervy to start with. And you could see them. You just felt like that goal was coming from the moment we kicked off. And as you say, the relief when we started to turn it around was... You know, you could hear it. And obviously then we improved and we started to play our stuff. And in the end, despite their late goal, it was actually quite a comfortable victory. But it didn't seem like that when the game kicked off.
Yeah, I mean, because Lee Berrier says it himself, we looked nervous in that first half, particularly after the... I mean, because you could argue before the goal went in, there's only 7 minutes that the goal went in on from Randell Williams. There's a good strike, and a couple of people have asked questions of the goalkeeper, which we'll come on to in a minute. But you could quite see after that we were nervous, and, you know, Wickham... were lifted by the goal and were quite happy to make it difficult for us.
Yeah, I think echo what Tom said really. The ball wasn't sticking very well up front, so as soon as we got possession, we didn't keep the ball well enough, and then it was just coming straight back. And I think once, like Tom said, once we started getting the confidence on the ball, we cut them open really. But it was just a bit of a slow start. I couldn't really put my finger on it, and I just thought when they scored the first, I thought it's going to be one of these days, and they were just going to sit behind the ball, and then we weren't going to be able to break them down. But yeah, we did start slow, but luckily we managed to come out of it.
We'll talk about that opening goal then for Randall Williams, because like I say, I've seen a couple of people, you know, we've had one from London in a geezer, he actually tweeted in saying, so he's steer better than Phillips. You could argue he could have done better for the first goal, Terrell. I mean, did you have a view on it? Do you think, I mean, it was a great strike from the edge of the box. We didn't close him down as well.
No, we didn't close him down. I think that's the key. I personally don't think Steer Phillips or too many others would have got to that. It was perfectly positioned, but he had the time and space to pick his spot. And that was a disappointing thing. And that sort of, and I agree with the guys already, Tom and Nath, that we allowed them that space for that first half hour of the game for some reason. It was almost like there was a conscious effort to allow them space between their front, front two as they started. They sort of went back to one up front afterwards. But front two and their midfield. It's almost like you can have that space. We don't need it. We don't want it. Yet they closed us down. Every time we had the ball, they were on us in two impacts, in twos and threes. And that's why we couldn't settle on the ball, why we couldn't create anything. And we were allowing Akinfenwe and Mikal Smith, to a lesser extent, to have the ball at their feet, hold us off, and then bring other players into play. And we weren't following them. We weren't running with them. It was a really strange first half hour.
Well, I noted during the first half that the difference between the Southend game last week and yesterday's game was we didn't have a man in the middle like Josh Cullen did at Southend, who, whenever he seemed to have the ball, always seemed to have 2 or 3 seconds on the ball. They always seem to find space, whether it's you make your own space with good control, you run into the pockets where there is space. We didn't seem to have that yesterday.
Yeah, I completely agree. And obviously, I was commentating on Southend, and you get used to saying certain people's names, even in the early stages of games. And I remember talking about the midfielders a lot in the early part of that game. Obviously, I wasn't doing that yesterday, so I don't know for definite. But it didn't seem like our midfielders had a huge amount of the ball in those opening 15, 20 minutes. And it just seemed like we were kind of bypassing them, and the game was passing them by a little. I'm sure we'll come on to talk about Ajoze's performance just in general, but Aribo didn't see much of the ball, I didn't think. Prattley didn't quite seem his tenacious self that he has in other games as well. Maybe down to the injury, if that's what it was that brought him off as well. So, yeah, it just seemed we were slightly overrun in the middle of the park, and like everyone said, we were just leaving far too much space in their final third, our defensive third, and none of the defenders really stepped up and tried to fill that space either, because they had their hands full with a couple of strikers.
Obviously, it was Joe Aribo who'd come in for Cullen. He was injured last week with his hip. Cullen's now on international duty. Aribo was able to come back. So would you have expected him to have been the man who would have found that space in possession?
Of everyone that played, yeah, he's probably the more technical than Prattley, because we know Prattley's just more of a sort of a ball-winning midfielder. But yeah, I agree with Tom. The game did seem to pass them by, and it just seemed that they were always a step or a second too late in a challenge, or they were never getting that space like Cullen does to try to demonstrate, you know, his technical ability. And it was, yeah, it was just a strange start. But you know, he improved in the second half. But for sure, there wasn't anyone with that nous in the middle of the park to try and dictate the tempo at all for me.
I mean, as far as I could see it, Wickham played a quite high tempo midfield, and they played five across that, the same as we were doing, and we didn't match them. I mean, in most games, and it's a well-worn phrase, you've got to earn the right to play football. So if there's a battle to be had, you've got to do it, and we weren't competing with them. And I think it's quite as simple as that. The midfield just didn't compete, and Prattley tried his best. Bless him. Aribo's not that style of player anyway, poor old Nicky Ajoze, I'm not sure he knew where he was, to be honest. It looked like he wasn't sure what position he should be playing, because everywhere he went, the ball was somewhere else. And he looked lost a little bit. And we weren't competing in their midfield, which meant the ball just, it was like playing against a war ball. It just kept coming back and back and back. And it wasn't until we scored, and if you remember on the goal, it was probably the first time anybody got in front of Akinfenwe. Yeah. And Pierce did it. Whether or not he was told from the sidelines, right, you've got to start winning, you've got to start getting in front of him, or whether it was just something that clicked,
because second he has the ball, you can't get it off him.
Exactly. Yeah. So you've got to either get in front of him or have somebody in front of him to stop that ball getting there in the first place. And as soon as we did that, suddenly we're on the front foot and we turn them, because they're expecting him to hold up, they're expecting their midfielders was almost expecting him to lay him off, And of course, suddenly it's not there, and we have him on the back foot, and we go up. And I'm convinced if the guy hadn't put it in the back of the net himself, it was going to run a tailor for the finish anyway.
Haven't seen it back.
Sado John Batty was the man who sliced it into his own goal. The cross came from Lewis Page. He had actually got beyond once before towards the pylon, where he tried that sort of slice cross, but he just sliced it straight into the Jimmy C. But I'm always saying he's my favourite crosser of the ball at the club, and so I was glad that he did that. He put it into the danger area, and like I say, John Batty, there was nothing really he could do other than to slice it in off that far post. And then all of a sudden, you know, the cliche is goals change games, but I mean it did, didn't it? Because then all of a sudden we were the team for that last 15 minutes of the first half that looked most likely. It was only 5 or so minutes later that we had that big chance where a Jose slipped Carlin Grant through.
Yeah, momentum completely shifted, and you're right, that's probably the one thing a Jose did that whole half, but it came in that 15 minutes after the goal, and suddenly Aribo starts getting on the ball more, Pierce starts winning those headers in the aerial battle up front with Akinfenwa, and we just look dangerous again, and that's the part of the game that we need to see more of. We talked again just before the show about how we like to try and hit people on the counter-attack and move the ball quickly from back to front. And we actually started to do it. And that midfield started to take a bit of ownership. I think that improved even more when Reeves came on second half as well, and Lapsley. But even towards the end of that first half, we just started to look a bit more like Charlton. Yeah.
We nearly saw the greatest goal of all time as well. It's one of those ones where if it had gone in, then they would have just cancelled the rest of the season. Lyle Taylor, his sort of scissor bicycle kick, call it whatever you want. It was, again, good work down the right from Carlin Grant, and these two are forming a lovely partnership now. Grant's very direct when he gets the ball. He gets towards that byline, dinks the crossover. It's ever so slightly behind Taylor, but he adjusts superbly. With the flying bicycle, and if that, I mean, it only just cleared the crossbar, and if that had gone in, I mean, that would have been one that we'd have been talking about down here for years and years to come.
Yeah, I think we all said off air that we would probably still be here celebrating if it went in, but I thought when I first saw it, I thought it was slightly over hit, and I thought it was just going to be a bit too long for Lyle, and then all of a sudden I've just seen these long pegs come up in the air, and then it can't. Obviously, well, I'm in the north, so I can only see it straight. I don't know how far away it was, but it didn't look very far away at all.
Really not far. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if that went in, I think it was goal of the season. September.
I just wondered if he was doing it in homage to our bicycle kick specialist, Jonathan Johansson. Of course, got his job as the Green Morton manager this week. So maybe just to celebrate, he thought, I'm going to do one of his.
I'm sure the appointment of Green Morton's manager was uppermost in his mind.
It was in mine when that happened, and every time I've ever attempted a bicycle kick, I've always thought I was JJ. Ended up in a pile on the floor, of course, but I've always had JJ in my mind. Start the second half. Someone else seemed a bit absent-minded because we started the second half with 10 men. Now, the story goes that Nicky Ojoze, of course, is injured, and now I know there's a few crazy conspiracies going around on forums. I've spoken to Nicky Ojoze very briefly in the tunnel after, and if he's not injured, then he's a very good actor. The exact words he used was, "I've been Choltonized," as he held his sort of hamstring area. So he was injured, but then, and we'll hear from Bayer slightly, a very short clip from the BBC interview where he sort of explains there was a balls up, basically, because we played 1 minute and 47 seconds with only 10 men.
That's how we roll. We're good like that.
Still won though, didn't we?
I was tempted to put 10 man addicts
beat Wickham in the report title just so we could really claim some extra stuff, but you know, weirdly we were the team in the ascendancy towards half time, but we almost reverted to type at the start of the second half again.
I think there's a bit of serendipity about this, because I think we had the ascendancy in the latter end, as you say, the latter end of the first half, because you know it was almost like a light bulb moment. We realised that we had to get in front of their front two every time the ball came forward to win it, and then we were on the front foot for the rest of that first half after the goal. But then the start of the second half, it looked, obviously down to 10 men it's going to affect you anyway, but we looked a little nervous again, and it wasn't until that change happened, and then Prattley, who the injury I think came after he tackled that guy from behind, because he launched himself at him.
Yeah,
and I think that's how he done his hamstring.
He got away with one sort of. So he just got the yellow card for the Sivan challenge, tracking back similar. He got a similar one last week as well. So that seems to be a speciality, you know, taking one for the team.
Do you reckon he practices it?
Don't need to practice that. It comes naturally. I've done it myself. And then, just as he went off injured, he was almost lucky that at the same time that he was injured, Lyle Taylor was down injured on the far side, because before the ref had stopped play, Prattley had given away a foul on this near side for quite a sneaky little tug of the shirt. Now, on another day, if the referee's seen that as more cynical, then that could easily have been a second yellow card. Luckily for us, he was taken off soon after. Lapsley came on in his place. And now we're talking about Reeves that come on at half-time for a Jose, Lapsley for Prattley. And now the energy that Lapsley provided and added to by the creativity and the technical ability that Reeves provided, that sort of turned that second half in our favour as well.
Do you think both of those players would have been substituted for Lapsley and Reeves had they not been injured?
Who knows?
If you don't, you should have done.
Yeah, who knows?
They would have had to go, surely.
Who knows what Boya's thinking was? I mean, yeah, Boya, again, he said to me that at half-time, when Jose was injured, it was a toss-up between whether he was going to bring on Reeves or stick Igor on and stick him up top, which presumably would have seen Grant drop down into the number 10 role, but luckily he didn't. And therefore, it took us a while to get going, but you know, we had that chance with where the long board gone over the top and Taylor had sort of tried to go through on the goalkeeper. Also, the keeper's come out, spread himself big. I saw Reeves and some of the crowd asking for a penalty, but I think the keeper did well there, came out big and made the stop, and then it was just a clash of players.
I'd agree with that, and I actually asked him that question because his momentum took him into Taylor. Mm. Well, if that happens anywhere else on the pitch, and I mean anywhere else on the pitch, where you, even if you get the ball, but your follow through takes a player out, that's deemed as dangerous, and it's a foul, and potentially a red card, depending on how bad it is. But
you're not in control.
Because you're not in control of your body. You're launching yourself at somebody without any control, and that's a foul everywhere else on the pitch.
Maybe. It seems like it's different for goalkeepers, because at the same time, Taylor's sticking boots out as well. So the momentum of each player.
I guarantee if that had been the other way around and Taylor would have connected with the keeper with the follow through, he gets a booking and a free kick.
Yeah, well, who knows? But it wasn't very long after that at all, actually, that we got the second goal. Some superb work down the left-hand side. Ariba, I think it was, who slipped in Carlin Grant. And now this is where we've been talking about this partnership. You know, perhaps earlier on in the season, he may have gone for the near post there, trying the most direct route to goal. But he's aware to the fact that, you know, if you shoot across the goal, even if it doesn't go in, the keeper might touch it out to someone in the six-yard box. It might be someone on the far post, and that's what it was. Now, you know, Patrick Bauer, nosebleed territory, but he did so well on that far post because the angle, he had not even a split second to make the decision as to whether to go for goal or to play it back across. He did so well to make that decision to play it back across. The angle was very tight, and then Lyle Taylor, you know, he's the man, Johnny on the spot. That's his job, and he keeps doing it now.
Yeah, and it was another brilliant move from us. And as I say, when we passed the ball around, we made them look, you know, two, three divisions worse than us. I mean, we were really, really good in those little spells, but we only saw it in glimpses. But it was a lovely link-up again. As you say, Aribo had started to get more on the ball. Grant makes that right decision, which Boya's talked about time and time again, those two making the right decisions, gets it across. Bauer had done so well, like you say, to get forward in the first place and then to cut it back. And it's something we've said on this show time and again. How many times have we asked for that sort of striker that's just in the right place at the right time? And all of the goals that Taylor has scored pretty much have been like that, you know. And that's what we need. And I think that's what we thought we were getting when we signed a Jose as well. Didn't work out. McGuinness, a different sort of striker. But that's the sort of player we need. And when we've got this creativity, particularly with the likes of Cullen coming back, Ward coming in, Reeves, if he can keep up the form that he showed yesterday, Clark coming back, we've got so much, and Grant himself, we've got so much pace and so much attacking threat. You need someone there to just stick the chances away.
And Taylor's certainly looking a more rounded striker than the examples you gave there, like a Jose and McGuinness. Yeah. So in the case of McGuinness, you know, McGuinness, he's best attribute other than in the air perhaps was going to be his hold up play. Taylor's got that, and then with a Jose it was going to be his fox in the boxness, and Taylor's shown that so far as well,
and he's got pace as well. Exactly. You see him hold up the ball, you see him drive away from players, he seems to have everything,
and you need a strike partner as well, and he's got one as well. Now I tweeted earlier, if you look at Lyle Taylor's four goals so far this season, three of them have come not directly assist, because that's not always the way it works, but three of them have come from Carlin Grant. So he won the penalty at Sunderland on the opening day. Last week at Southend, he won the ball and did get a direct assist for the work to get it into the middle and Taylor to tap it home. And yesterday, it was his great run, 1-2, I think, was it with Aribo, and gets towards the byline. And then obviously, he doesn't get the assist for that because it was actually Bauer that squared it in the end. But I mean, Lyle Taylor, you'll hear from him, his views on the game yesterday in the newspaper for tomorrow morning, but I mean, he was really glowing, wasn't he, about his strike partner,
and rightly so. I think we're starting to see now the I'm sure the benefits of the loan spell at Crawley has done him some superb good. But you know, we saw that when he broke into the first team what now, 4 years ago, three, four years ago now, under Bob Peters. But he was thrown in too soon and made to play far too many games, and he just wasn't ready. But prior to that, and in the under-21s or the 18s, that's what he was doing. His pace was frightening. He had the ability to score, and he had the ability to take players on and leave them for dead and get the ball in the box. And we're just seeing the fruits of what we knew he could be. And what really pleases me is that it could have been very easy for the club or any manager to have just offloaded him. Because, you know, he spent pretty much 3 years underachieving, if you like.
Mm.
And so it would have been very easy just to discard him. And I'm just so pleased that that didn't happen, because we're now seeing the benefits of it.
I feel like, I mean, it's quite interesting if you know that one of the players that Wickham bought on yesterday's Fred Onyedimna, Millwall loanee. Now, he made his debut for the Lions against us when he was about 16, his full league debut in 2014. Now, very similar times when Carlin made his debut, actually, and he got the same fanfare. You know, he came on, everyone's like, this is the next big thing. He's a 16-year-old kid, and you can't expect a player to come in at that age. And, you know, Onyedimna's clearly not hit the heights that he was expected to down at Millwall, got shipped out on loan. And the same thing's happened with Carlin now, but he's, you know, finally coming out the other side of it. So it just shows that, you know, you throw young players in too often. Not every young player is Joe Gomez, unfortunately. You know, most of them aren't gonna hack it. Now, the third goal came in 10 minutes left to go. I mean, goal machine, as we were talking about, big Nabs. He's arguably the next Gary Lineker.
I don't know, he is.
Is he
going to
present match of the day?
Yeah. We were saying off air how many celebrations he had. He had about three, didn't he? He looked quite scary. I don't know. He was right in front of me. And
it was just a passion. I was saying, like, when you're not expected to score too many goals, you have to go through your whole repertoire of celebrations at once, get them all out of the way. And he did that. But, I mean, it was a good ball in from Reevesy. And, I mean, when a ball's bouncing around on the edge of the six-yard box like that, you want someone who's going to battle for it, and it's going to be your big centre-half. And Naby, you know, he's more than happy to battle for it. It's actually not got a dreadful goal record for a centre half, you know, when he has been played. You know, it's his second league goal for us. Obviously, we know he scored in the Chequer trade during the week. He scored in the friendly against Brighton, scored at Palace in the League Cup a couple of years ago. So, you know, he can actually finish. And, you know, but he worked hard for that goal as well.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that obviously Tuesday's goal was obviously a little bit more, had a bit more finesse about yesterday's one. But it was the right place, right time, and it was his weaker foot. I'm sure it's his right foot. Or,
I don't know what it bounced off.
Yeah, but it don't matter.
I think he has a weaker foot.
But yeah, I think I think we said on Thursday or the week before, he's improved so much from when he's first come in, because he looked a bag of nerves and he looked so out of his depth.
He's still got an error in him.
He does make me feel uncomfortable now.
He's not as cool-headed as Piercy or Bauer. No. I mean, even Bauer 2 years ago, I'd say the same thing about him, but he's much improved over the last 2 years. But, you know, Naby's certainly got the cult hero status purely because of his story and how he's actually wrestled it around to come back and actually be an important member of the squad. And, you know, fair play to him, and he's, you know, but at the same time, he's never going to be Jason Pearce or anything like that. But, you know, he's working hard, and we talked about it on Thursday, actually. You know, if you're the backup player, you've got to work hard for your place, and he does that.
Yeah, and when he comes in, he does what's asked of him. Like Nathan, he makes you a bit nervous at times, but we need a ball player like that, because whilst Pearce and Barra can do all the dirty stuff and they can battle it out with someone of the size of Akinfenwa, Naby Sarr will get the ball and he'll look to pass it out to the right and the left, and that's what you need in there. So, credit to him. And as Naif says there, to bounce back from everything, I mean, there's the awful song about Katrien that involved him. He was one of those players that was held up as one of the players that Roland had signed, and because he came in with reportedly such a big fee, he looked, like Naif says, a bag of nerves, but he's turned all that around and he's come back. And I wouldn't want him the one of a two starting every week necessarily, because he has still got those mistakes in him, but he offers the team something for sure. And yesterday he was just right place, right time.
Right, we never see games out comfortably, do we? Is it every game we've won so far this season has just been by one goal, if you're thinking about it, of course, because two late wins against Shrewsbury and Southend, and then yesterday. So Paris Cohen Hall has just come off the bench. He headed home from a corner, so we're going to be disappointed that we've fallen asleep at a set piece like that, and given us a nervy-ish last 5 minutes. They had a couple of balls into the box, which we tended to deal with yesterday, but, you know, most important thing is we saw it out in the end.
It wouldn't be Charlton if there wasn't a smidgen of squeaky bum moments. So, I mean, that haul, he just came from nowhere. I think everybody was expecting the ball to go to the big fellas, and maybe it's a worked move. he drifts in from the edge of the penalty area unnoticed and connects. I thought after that, we actually saw it out quite well. I mean, there wasn't too many real scary moments after that. I thought Jed Steer actually, on a couple of occasions, came and claimed the ball or did a bit of dominant goalkeeping, which you need. And that was, it must have been a quite high pressure game for him yesterday, considering the manner in which he played.
And we're certainly going to have that debate, I think, after we hear from Lee Bowyer. So before we hear from Bowes, don't forget, if you want to have your say, you can head over to the email, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. I've got a few emails in the inbox waiting already. You can have your say on Twitter at Charlton Live or the Charlton Live Forum. There's a couple of messages on there for us already as well. There's a thread on the Charlton Live Forum for tonight's show. So we'll talk about the game. We'll talk about the Jed Steer and the Dylan Phillips situation, because that was the main talking point for me before the game yesterday. Let us know what you made of the performances. Don't forget, obviously, we talked about it mainly on Thursday, but Lee Bowyer has been given the permanent role here at the Valley until the end of the season, so it's about as permanent as a short piece of string. But, if you want to have your say on that, if you want to celebrate the fact that Bowes has got the job title that he quite clearly deserves, get in contact with us. Let's hear from that Charlton manager then. He came in to speak to Terry after yesterday's game, and he was obviously happy. The most important thing is that we got the 3 points.
It's been a good week, a positive one. Got 3 points a day, that's the most important thing. Was it as nice as I would have liked? Not really, but 3 points are 3 points, and sometimes it's not going to be perfect, you know. I think they was probably better than us first half, and we had a good start. Then they had some good possession and put us under a bit of pressure, and then they nicked a goal. But then towards the end of the first half, then we started to do the things we'd been practicing all week. We finally started to do it, and then we score. So we had the better end to the half, so we was better in the start and the end. And then the second half, I think we was the better side. I think we deserved to win the game. But we're good, and they cause us problems at times. We've got the big fella up front, he's very difficult to play against. But I think Lowell, Carlin and Ben Reeves were excellent second half. And I'm delighted for Lowell to get another goal. I'm delighted for Carlin for making the right decision, shooting across the goal. Pat kept it alive, don't know what he was doing there, but he kept it alive. But at least Carlin, for me, has made the right decision by shooting across the goal. If he makes the wrong decision, Lowell don't score that goal. So, like I said in the beginning, after the Accrington game, they're going to start making the right decisions now, because they had to. So, and since then, I think Lowell scored 2 goals from Carlin making the right decision last week and today.
One of the obvious talking points out of from the start was the inclusion of Jed Steer in goal. I'm sure that you've been asked that already, but what was the thinking behind bringing Jed in?
He's better with his feet. His distribution with his feet is like having another footballer in the goal. He can play out very, very well. His distribution with throwing is very good. And he can do everything with his feet. He can go out wide to your fullbacks. He can go straight into your midfielder. He can bypass the midfield and drop it into the striker's chest. You see that today. Is it going to happen every time? Is it going to work every time? No, but it's an option to have. And it's a very good option, especially the way we want to play. We want to move the ball and we want to play out from the back. And if they then want to press us high, then we can bypass that with his feet and then drop it into the striker. I think you witnessed all that today. That was my thinking of putting him in goal.
You mentioned Lyle Taylor there, and it seemed, the first half, first half hour for everybody really seemed to be a bit of a struggle as we tried to get the grips with Wickham. But after scoring the goal and equalising, we seemed to come alive a little bit more. And Lyle, after he got kicked, it seemed to me that just seemed to be a man possessed.
Yeah. I said to them all at half time, it ain't good enough. The one time they actually done what we've been practicing all week, we scored. Joe Aribo went and got it off that side, turned, switched it, suddenly got out, then we went back across, cross, goal. Like, that was what we've been practicing all week. So it was like, look, just believe in yourselves, be patient and do the right things. And when they do that, they're unplayable. And second half, they made the right decisions more times than not.
We had the better of the sort of last quarter of that first half, and then at the beginning of the second half, you had to make two changes. I'm guessing Nicky Jose's also an injury.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had the injury to Darren Pratley, which could have derailed us a little bit, but you must have been delighted the way Ben Reeves and George Lepsley came on and just picked up where the side left off in the first half and pretty much dominated that second half.
Yeah. Ben is obviously a good footballer. He's clever. He don't really give the ball away. He sees things that other players don't see. And George gives you the energy and the hard work and the commitment. So the pair of them done well when they come on, you know, and it's good to see. But that's what I said, if I can keep everyone fit, and they're like, the lads are just starting to come back, and then they've lost another 2-3 this week. But that's football. And but the good thing is, when you do lose them and you've got people like Ben Reeves to replace, you've got Tariq that's still got to come back, you've got footballers, you know, we've got Cullen and Wall to come back next weekend. So
it sort of makes those loan signings critical, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And they're not just average loan signings, they're very good ones that are going to improve us. So yeah, that's why we had to be patient and to bring in the right players.
I can't let the interview go firstly without talking about the new goal scoring machine that's Naby Sarr popping up and bagging another one again with his foot.
Yep, Naby, I thought he's one that probably had a shaky start first half, but they all did. And he's popped up and he's nicked another goal. The lad can finish, like I keep saying this about him. He's technically he's very, very good. So and the good thing for me is that, like, you can never doubt him in the keep balls, and that he's always one of the better ones in the keep balls. But physically, he's getting physically stronger as well now. He's competing and putting his body on the line more, you know, and he's definitely improving for sure.
Finally, the injuries. You mentioned obviously now Darren Pratley and Nicky Jose are added to the list, but before obviously for today, Christian Bellick also out. How serious is that?
I don't know how serious. All I know is a calf strain, so maybe at least a couple of weeks, I think. But I'm guessing, not a doctor.
Yeah, no, fair enough. But before the game, I mean, because we lost Tariq for suspension, we lost the two new lads through international duty, and so we were almost back to the bare bones that you'd started with. Was there a bit of a feeling that let's just get through this weekend without losing type of attitude about, or were you really confident even with what we had we could take Wickham?
Oh no, what to win the 3 points? Yeah. Oh no, for sure. I knew what I had. The team I set out there, the exceptional team. The players I've got on the bench. You got Vetter Kelly, can come off the bench, make something happen. You got Ben Reeves. Jules Lapsley's going to run around and fight for you. So, no, of course, I've got Mark Marshall on the bench who can come on and maybe make something happen. So it's... I knew today. No, if anything less than 3 points, I'm disappointed even to the way we started the game. Like, it still hurts. But we've got 3 points, stop, and that's what I've asked. Stop. But they've gone and done what I've asked. Bring back 3 points. Nothing less than 3 points would have been acceptable today. We'd have drawn today. That would have been a disappointment for me.
Well, we ended it in typical Charlton fashion. It wouldn't be Charlton if it wasn't nail-biting at the end, but yeah, we managed to hang on. So you must be delighted with that.
Yeah. The most important thing, 3 points, move on. And then we've got Luton next week, another tough game. Bradford next week, sorry. Another tough game, and see what we bring back from there.
Silver steps in, wins it back for Charlton, comes away on a run and then feeds Fosu over halfway. Fosu on the left hand side, they're heading towards the penalty area, looking to take on Pond, gets in the box, is he going to fall over? No, he's got it, Douglas! There's number three!
You're listening to Charlton Live!
So welcome back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. Great to hear from Lee Bayer. Came in to speak to Charlton Live exclusively after yesterday's 3-2 win. In good spirits, Terry, you seem to be.
Well, you would be after a 3-2 win. I mean, as he said, you know, he wasn't entirely happy with the start and the panicky finish, but you know, it's 3 points. And I know he said there that he expected to win no matter what side he put out, but I just get that feeling with the situation that we were in, with the two new loan signings out on international duty, losing Tariq through suspension, losing Christian to injury just before the game of the kickoff. I know there's a part of me thinks that would he have thought just get through this weekend? If we win, it's a bonus, but let's just get through it.
Well, that doesn't seem to be the way he operates.
No, clearly not.
Every game, he's always expecting us to win. You know, he's we saw it last season. He came in and promised the playoffs the second he got here, basically, and that seems to be his mindset. A very positive mindset. Obviously, got given the full time job during the week as well. Tell we spoke about it on Thursday, the three of us, but. Two of us did. You didn't, Tom. I just imagine.
Did you talk about it, Tom?
I just imagine what you would have said, to be honest.
Who's on voice memos?
Yeah, I just assume you would have been really happy. But Terry, your own views on that?
I think it had to happen. I get the feeling that he wasn't overly bothered about it, particularly because if he had have been, I think he would have made bigger noises about it to the top table before now. And I think he may have also thought that, well, actually, what's he going to do? You know, he can't sack me because they've got nobody else. Well, he could, I suppose, but, you know.
Never stopped him before.
No, indeed, yeah. Because in theory, he wants out, so he's not that bothered. So I wouldn't have been surprised if it just let it roll on the way it is. Because in terms of contracts, it means nothing anyway. Because if somebody does something for, is it in 6 months employment contracts now? Mm. If you do something for 6 months, then it's deemed as a full-time contract anyway. So
yeah.
It's fairly irrelevant in terms of financial issues.
Yeah. Right, you asked him about the goalkeeping situation. Actually, just before that, because we've just got one more clip of his, I'll just play you very quickly about the after the half-time with the substitution. Because I know some of you wanted an explanation. It's a very brief explanation, so it might not be what you're all after, but this is what he had to say when I asked him as to why we had to play the first couple of minutes of the second half with just 10 men. You mentioned the two men that came off through injury today, apparently in the second half. Jose, at the start of the second half, it meant you were down to 10 men for a minute or so. I mean, do you know what happened there? Why it took a while for Reeves to be ready?
I got told that they was all ready, so it was just a matter of making the right decision. Was contemplating putting Igor up top, but I thought now Reeves would make more of a difference in possession, so and it was a good choice.
He's pleased with his choice, which is a good idea. So basically he was told that everyone's ready, and for some reason Reeves wasn't ready, so that was a bit sloppy, but luckily we came out of that unscathed. Right, so again, you asked him about Jed Steer. And he talks about the footwork, you know, the player being more comfortable with the ball at his feet. I mean, that's in vogue at the moment in the Premier League. Obviously, Arsenal in particular have got, you know, Bambi on ice in Petr Cech every time the ball comes to his feet. But obviously, Bowes wants a goalkeeper that he feels is more competent with his feet than Dylan. Now, have you spotted Dylan not doing well with his feet?
I mean, I think we have to admit a couple of things. But, firstly, I'm pleased he didn't try the Cruyff turn, Jed Steer, like most ball-playing goalkeepers. Firstly, the distribution yesterday was better. I mean, we can't argue. I mean, as much as I felt gutted for Dylan Phillips, absolutely gutted, because I didn't think he'd done too much wrong, if anything. I mean, argue could have got a stronger hand against for the South End goal, and yes, his distribution probably isn't polished enough yet. I agree with that, but. And I think we all, if we're all admitting it, we all expected Jed Steer to come in at some point or other, because you don't bring in a keeper from a Championship side who only is coming out to get game time to then leave him on the bench. It just it doesn't make sense at all. So I think we were all expecting it to happen. It happened a bit quicker than I thought, and I do feel, and I am gutted for Dylan.
I mean,
because I don't think he's done that much wrong.
He made a mistake at Southend, you know, there's no glossing over that. That was a mistake. Some people said they felt he could have done better with Sunderland's first goal on the opening day of the season as well. But I mean, the one error at Southend, I mean, none of us were hoping he'd be dropped after that. But at the same time, we did say on Thursday, not you, Tom, you weren't here. We did say on Thursday, we just wonder if that was the case because he made that mistake.
Yeah, for me, that one mistake's not enough. But we were talking again just off air, and obviously me and Tel were here for the Checker trade match on Tuesday, and when Bowyer was talking to Terry about that after the game, he said how impressed he was with him, seeing him live for the first time. And He hadn't really had too many saves to make in that game, so he was referring to his distribution there as well. So when you think about it in hindsight like that, that kind of makes sense. But I'm with the other guys. I'm gutted for Dylan, absolutely gutted for him. Jed Steer's distribution yesterday, barring one poor clearance, all of that was brilliant. And you can see why he brought him in. And to be honest, one or two of those goals might not have happened if it hadn't been for that quick distribution. So you've got to give him credit for that. I think it's just, you know, we're the sort of club that we really like our youth players coming through. And I think we all here like Dylan Phillips and want him to do well and wanted him to keep his place. And it looks like, unless Steer makes some horrific mistake now, that place might be gone for this season.
Which is a shame. I mean, London Inner Geezers just said, if I was Phillips, I'd leave at Christmas.
Well, you wouldn't expect Dylan to be hanging around more. We were talking about when his contract was up, Nathan was thinking it might be the end of this season. You don't expect him, after taking a bit of a body blow like that, to want to hang around, that's sure. I think Christmas is probably too soon, but we can't put him out on loan because he's on. You know, we haven't got a number two other than Ashley Emmanuel Bruin. He's too young to be a number two, I think. So, but you know, if you're Dylan Phillips, it's a kick in the teeth, isn't it? You know, I suppose what it does show, if we wanted to know whether or not Lee Bowyer had a ruthless streak as a manager, yes.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah, and you need one as a manager, and he needs to be in charge, and he needs to make his own decisions and not listen to us, which is obviously the way he operates.
Do you think he thinks that before he gets up in the morning?
Yeah.
Should I listen to what the Charlton Live boys had to say before I make
If it's anything like me, he's thinking about Jonathan Johansson still. So, right, Richard Justum says, Steer is the better keeper. His distribution was very good. I felt sorry for Dylan, though. And James Moyard also had his say. James has signed up for the bike ride, which we're going to be talking about later as well. He says, Steer, I don't get it. If Dylan needs to improve part of his game, then he needs to play. So different opinions there from the tweeters coming in. James did add he thought that Taylor in the second half was different class, and he thought that Reeves looked good as well. Now let's have a look at some of the other tweets that have come in throughout the day. The first one came in from Mads yesterday in the evening, actually. He said, on Sunday show, could you give the Charlton Moscow boys a shout out? They are fifth in the league and bearing down on Millwall, and said that they would start downloading the pod if the international addicts were shown some love. Everyone's aware, I think, of, well, not most, there's a Charlton, there's some weird situation out in Russia where there's some sort of football league where all the teams have named themselves after English football league teams, and they all appear to be absolutely mental. Like, they turn up to like Sunday league games with flares and fighting and stuff, and it looks quite exciting. And there is a Charlton team out there, so yeah, good luck to the chaps. I hope they do bear down on Millwall.
Next time I'm in Moscow, I'm going to try and look them up.
Yeah, good for you. Chrissy T says, big 3 points yesterday, a sign of a good team to not play well and win. Players coming back, getting more minutes, fitter, sharper. We've got to be looking at 6 points against Bradford and Plymouth to cement our place in the top six, onwards and upwards, and in Bowyer we trust. That is the positive to take from the fact, and Terry, you sort of alluded to it, that because we didn't have the full squad yesterday, you may have been thinking, oh, maybe if we just try and get something out of it. But, you know, obviously that isn't Bowyer's mentality, and now that the squad is starting, the last couple of games, you know, where we've had the loanies last week, and, you know, players coming back from injury, and we're just starting to look more like a proper outfit now. You know, we've played all right at times this season, but we haven't had options on the bench. Now, if we are serious about challenging for that top six, which is what Bowyer's talked about, the top two, but if we're talking about top six, you know, now is the time that we're really going to have to prove ourselves. And, you know, over the last couple of games, we're just starting to make a few steps in the right direction.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. I think now we've got all the players coming back, like you say. It's proven that it's, you know, we're starting to get stronger, but then we're also getting some injuries. Obviously, I know Bielik didn't play yesterday. I don't know how long he's out for, but yeah, we just need to get them all fit. Which I didn't even know that Reeves was going to be able to play 45 minutes yesterday. I thought he was only going to be able to do 15, 20 minutes. And like Tell said, I thought he changed our whole dynamic.
Maybe I can only do a maximum of 43 minutes, and that's why he waited after half time for a little while.
Waited 1 minute and 47 seconds. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But no, yeah, we need to be winning these sort of games. No disrespect to Wickham, these are the games we have to be winning at home if we even to finish top six, to be fair, let alone being top two.
Yeah, right. There's a couple of tweets that came in yesterday. Someone did a poll on the Charlton Live account about Jed Steer coming in for Dylan, and 70% of people actually said it was harsh on Dylan Phillips. This was before the game, so you know that was before the game, so we can't really say whether people might change their mind now. But a couple of tweets, Glenn said that Phillips had been one of our most consistent performers this season and he didn't see any reason to change. Justin said it was a bit rough on the lad, I'd have thought he'd done enough to keep his place. So those two both came in before the game, so obviously without hindsight of actually seeing how Steer played, I don't know if people would change their mind or not, but that's just what people had to say. Right, Jonathan Ackworth says a couple of players to sign. Ross Wallace is free, Cody McDonald is free, Adam Hamill is free, and Boswick and Akinfenwa in January. These two are in top form for Lincoln and Wickham, perhaps off a swap for a Jose, he said, who had a bust up before the break, but I don't believe that to be true. But there's a couple of free signings out there.
I can just imagine Gareth Ainsworth thinking, I know what I'll do in January. Akinfenwa, I'm going to swap him for Nicky Jones. After seeing the performances yesterday, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Aaron Roth says that Reeves and Lapsley changed the game for us. And I don't think you can argue that. I mean, I was particularly impressed by Reevesy yesterday. Just because, we know what Lapsley is all about, energy, getting around the pitch and battling hard. But Reevesy, if we're being honest, we haven't seen what he's supposedly all about too often in the championship. And that's why it was a nice surprise to see it yesterday.
Yeah, and his distribution, not just from set pieces, but just whenever he got the ball, he was turning, he was looking to go forward. And 9 times out of 10, he was finding his man. And then when it did come to set pieces, his free kicks, his corners were all spot on as well. And that's the player we've been missing. Last time I saw him in that MK Don shirt, he scored that goal against us. Was it in injury time or extra time, I think, in a cup game?
Yeah, extra time.
A really good finish from the edge of the area, and I thought that's the sort of player we were hopefully signing. And last season, it just never really clicked for him, and obviously then got this injury again, and you start to think, well, is this ever going to happen? And it's very early days, obviously, but with a Jose, I can't see him playing again. I hope not based on yesterday, but if Reeves can fill in that slot, I think we've got a dangerous player there.
Well, Jose's going to be out for a while now with that injury anyway, so whether he gets another chance after that, if some people weren't impressed with his performance in that first half. Right, Tom Bramley says that Reeves was brilliant, he absolutely changed the game, which is what a lot of people have been saying. Robert Waghorn says Boya seems to bring out the best from our midfielders, which you would expect. Lapsley has been a revelation and it's good to see Reeves back. Hope there was no issue with a Jose yesterday, we don't need drama. It's amazing how quickly this rumour spread. I don't know why people have said that.
Well, I think it was A, because he didn't have a very good game, and B, nobody, you couldn't instantly see a problem with him going off the pitch at half time, that there was no hint of there being an injury, and in C, nobody was ready for the substitution in the second half, which sort of gave the opinion that he made a late decision.
Yeah,
not
something
to come
weird
out.
Must have happened, exactly. But that just wasn't the case.
Yeah, I mean, adds to it all, doesn't it?
Yeah, Boya had been told that everyone was ready, and for whatever reason, Reeves wasn't ready.
He didn't get the memo.
Yeah, I don't know how long it takes to just put your shirt on.
They don't know. That's strange. They just don't have them ready anymore. Yeah.
They got put all the backpacks on with the little microchips in it.
The sports bra, yeah.
Yeah, sports bra, keep the boobs in it or whatever.
Yeah, the sports bra is like that GPS tracking thing they have. It looks like a sports bra. Right, Rocco said after the own goal and Boya's good decision to take off a Jose, we became completely on top of Wickham. Lapsley was class and Taylor is one of the best strikers we've had since Wright, Phillips and Kermigan. The only problem I saw was the keeper and how important Amos was for us. So it's interesting, he's really dividing opinion, isn't he, Jed Steer, so far? Rocco's talking about Amos there, so I think he's sort of writing off Phillips as well, perhaps. We know how good Ben Amos was for us last season. I still really think that Phillips can be that keeper for us, if he's given his game time. But, Bowie obviously knows more about him in terms of distribution than I do, because he sees him every day in training and I don't. Right, Paul Stevens says, when he came on with Lapsley, talking about Reeves, they changed the game and gave us something different. Should both start the next game for me? So do you think that Reeves has earned a starting place for next week up at Bradford? It depends which way he goes.
I think he has to start. I'd say Reeves ahead of Lapsley, not anything bad against Lapsley. I just think for that bit of that number 10 in behind,
Do you think because that's only his first game back,
might be a bit too soon
to start, and he might start with Cullen?
Cullen's back, isn't he? Of course he is.
And then bring on Reeves second half, pretty much what he did yesterday.
Well, not bad impact substitute to have if there's a tight game and you need someone to try and unlock some spaces.
And said that depends, because obviously now we know that Billick's not playing. Yeah. He might start with them both.
Who knows? Interesting. Mm. Right, Albert Rossi says, Lou, I was watching Phillips in the warm-up before the game. He looked peed off, but Steer is the much better goalkeeper. Right, a couple of messages on the Charlton Life Forum before we go for the break. Mendonca in Asda says, good evening, gents. Great show, as always. Really pleased to get the 3 points yesterday, given Fosu suspended, Billy Clark still off the radar, and various players called up for international duties. Ben Reeves and George Lapsley were just what we needed at the right time. First half was pretty poor. Akinfenwa had not only Jason Pearce in his pocket, but also the whole back five. Please, the players managed to turn it around, onwards and upwards, as they say. P.S. Why did Dylan Phillips get dropped? I thought it was a bit harsh. Steer didn't look convincing, but then again, it's early days, although he has let in 4 goals in his first 2 games for the Addicts. So Mendonca also not too convinced about Jed Steer yet, but I guess, as he said, I mean, you know, if you ask anyone what they thought of Ben Amos after 2 games last season, they had plenty to say as well. Right, Red Army says, evening gents, hope you're all good. Thought when Akinfenwa was linking up play well in the first 30 minutes, we were really poor, but the defence got to grips with him after that. Pretty much what you said, actually, Tell me that you thought the same after that, and we began to play okay. Still thought it was an average performance, but a good sign that we can win playing poorly. Regarding Phillips, thought it was harsh him getting dropped, and didn't think Steer covered himself in glory. And as for Boyer's comments regarding his better distribution, I didn't see much sign of that yesterday. I think dropping Phillips may have done more damage to his confidence than what bringing in Steer added in quality to the team. Enjoy the show, gents. Cheers for that, Red Army as well. So the signs of distribution, so, I mean, you felt it was improved yesterday.
I thought it was better, yeah. I've got to be honest. There were a couple of occasions where he balked on throwing it out quickly or kicking it out quickly, because he obviously wasn't 100% sure he could find the target, because maybe the players weren't in the right positions. But there was the one where that immediately springs to mind, is that kick out that turned their back to two central halves, and Taylor was through, and the keeper had to take him out at the same time. And that happened a few times, and even the quick throw out, he just looked a bit more comfortable than Dylan does. And by the way, that doesn't mean to say I agree with the decision necessarily, because I think it's really harsh on Dylan Phillips, by the way.
My favourite goalkeeper in terms of distribution in Challenge has always been Ben Hamer. The joking answer, of course, is Dean Kiely, because he's always pump it out into the stands. But I always thought Ben Hamer had this superb sort of, he almost had his leg sort of vertical kick where he'd slice it out, and it always seemed to be so accurate. So yeah,
Rob Elliott used to have the throw, didn't he?
Yeah.
He used to have that long throw that we used to do the dispute.
Maybe we should get them both back as well. Right, let's have a quick break here on Chart Live. I've still got your emails to come. Don't forget, we're still going to hear from Lyle Taylor later on in the show as well, and we're going to talk about the London to Amsterdam bike ride. The registration for that is open once again. Back in 30 seconds.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Be occupying that left-hand side at the moment. Little step over onto his left foot. Marshall, ball in the box is good. And Rebo, first time.
Oh, what a goal!
Lovely finish!
Oh, what a goal!
Joe Rebo gives Charlton the lead. Great ball in from Mark Marshall on the left-hand side. Chips it in. And Rebo, with a calm left-footed volley, have found the bottom right corner, and Charlton have the lead.
Welcome back, this is Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio, packed studio here at the Valley this evening. It's myself, Louis Mendez, Tom Wallen, Nathan Miller and Terry Smith all here to talk about yesterday's 3-2 win over Wycombe Wanderers, the first game of Lee Bowyer's permanent stint in charge of the Addicts. Got off to a good start. Right, let's have a look at some of the emails that have come in. Chris Davin, I'm looking forward to see what he's got in here. Oh goodness. Right, okay. Right, happy me is the name, is the subject line. It says, it's 2 wins on the spin. I'm well pleased. Nabby's the man. I'm ecstatic. I'm like a satellite. I'm out of control. I'm a sex machine ready to reload like an atom bomb. about to explode. I'll leave it there. And Boya, we trust Gustav in there.
What was he doing when he wrote that, do you reckon?
Oh, well, I hope to think singing or think not thinking about Jonathan Johansson. Chris always gets his musical lyrics in, and it's something I look forward to every week. Thanks for your email there, Chris. And I mean, it felt like we were all feeling yesterday, all happy, and we all felt like sex machines at full time there. Bob Liscombe says, well, he's asking the question about Jose then. Do you know why a Jose substitution didn't happen until the second half started? So the explanation appears to be it was a balls up. There was some sort of miscommunication between the dressing room and the bench, the substitutes warming up. It basically didn't happen. Right, non-user account sent us a DM on the old tweets. He said, I don't know why, but the decision to drop Dylan really triggered me. This was exasperated by Jed getting down rather slow for Wickham's goal. He was rather slow for both Wimbledon goals. Also, his distribution with his feet does appear to be better than Dylan's. I just don't think this justifies dropping him, in my opinion. It looks like Boya couldn't wait to drop Dylan. Yes, he has made a couple of minor mistakes, but this is far outweighed by his contributions in all the other aspects of goalkeeping, not to mention more than one top drawer save. Let's hope that when Jed makes a couple of mistakes, Boya is true to his word and brings Dylan back in. Great show as always, coming you Reds. Thanks for your tweet there, non-user account. So it's certainly got people talking, hasn't it, this Dylan Phillips, Jed Steer debate?
As I say, I think that's because everyone seems to quite like Dylan, and he hasn't done a whole lot wrong. I agree with the Wimbledon game in terms of saves. As I said earlier, he didn't have too much to do. I thought, and you'll hear it if anybody tuned in to listen, that we said he dived far too early on a lot of the penalties, gave the penalty taker far too much time to make their decision. And yesterday, I thought it immediately after the goal yesterday, I thought maybe he could have done better. And then nobody else really around me said anything, so I thought, oh, maybe I'm being harsh. But having seen the replay, I do think it's a brilliant shot, but I do think he could have done more. But the distribution's been really good, so it's difficult, and you've got to give him time. If he goes 10 games now and we keep 7 or 8 clean sheets and he makes a couple of world-class saves in a few of those games, you know, unfortunately for Dylan, that's the way it goes. If he makes a couple of mistakes, will Boya have the confidence to bring Phillips back in? So we've got to give him time. We've got to give him a chance. You've got to trust Boya knows what he's doing. And as I say, distribution-wise, you can't fault him yesterday.
Non-user account said that he felt like Boya couldn't wait to drop Dylan. I mean, do you think that is the case? It was just a case of as soon as there's a chance to, we're going to give the loanee goalkeeper the chance to earn the minutes that he's come out for?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, as Tail mentioned it earlier, it was the point of bringing a championship goalie out for him to sit on the bench. I'm pretty sure Villa wouldn't want that. I'm sure we didn't say that to Villa. Yeah, we're going to bring Jed in. He's just going to sit on the bench all day. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have done that.
Well, they must let him go home after the game, surely.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, yeah, I feel a bit sorry for Dills, but I thought he's made some good saves. Peterborough at home, he made a good save. Sunderland away, he made some good saves. But yeah, I always thought it was inevitable. It was a question of when and not if, unfortunately for Dills. But like Tom said, it'll be interesting if Jed makes a couple of boo-boos, whether or not Bo's put Dills back in. That's going to be the proof in the pudding, isn't it?
Pressure
really?
Certainly on him because of that, you'd have thought. Because he must know the situation. And obviously they train together. All three of the goalkeepers will train together, so they'll talk. So I'm sure Dylan will be telling people in no uncertain terms how he feels. You'd expect him to. So, you know, the pressure will be on just to perform.
Doesn't seem like a quiet chap or anything like that, Dylan, does he? I mean, from when we've spoken to him in press conferences, for example, I mean, when he came out, you know, it was only 2 weeks ago, and I sort of said, it was the big match preview before the Southend game. We played the clip of him talking after the Fleetwood game, where he was explaining how he, you know, effectively said to Bowie, yeah, bring in whoever you want, I'm going to keep my place, I'm going to do what I can to keep my place. And I knew as soon as we played that he was going to make a mistake like he did at Southend, but we know he's, you know, cocky, if you want to call it that. He's confident. You know, I saw him playing as goalkeeper for Cheltenham away at Bromley when he was on loan there. And he must be 19, 20 at the time, but he was barking orders at his defence. He was, you know, interacting with the crowd. He's a confident lad.
He's a goalkeeper. You've got to be bonkers.
Yeah. Simple as that, isn't it? Goalkeepers and drummers.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to be off your head. So so that breeds confidence because, well, it breeds a sense of you take risks as a goalkeeper, and so you've got to be putting yourself out there. So that comes out in your character, I guess. But he'll be gutted. He'll have to be gutted. We would, wouldn't we? I mean, yeah. If we were in the same boat, we'd all be feeling the same. So, hopefully you can bounce back from that. And
if Jed Steer comes and starts hosting this show, I'm fuming. Absolutely fuming. Right, Richard Justin.
I've heard his distribution of lines is much better.
It probably is. Right, Richard Justin says, remember, Steer is out of contract next summer. So that could be interesting when you think about it. He'll be playing for some sort of, be playing for his place at Aston Villa. He'd be wanting to sign a new deal with Aston Villa rather than Charlton, because they're a Championship club who would therefore pay better. So that'd be interesting that he'd clearly be going to go for that as well. Right, 100% Charlton says, Phillips, Harsh being dropped. Pierce and Taylor were magnificent, though. Taylor didn't stop running second half, and Reeves looks much more comfortable in that number 10 role. Fans were great, as always. I thought they were, actually. So good atmosphere at the Valley. He said, well done on the Jackos. Jackpot bet. Wonder what the odds will be for three in a row. So as we mentioned at the top of the show, on the Thursday, we do the Jackos Jackpot bet. It used to be called Cashy Back, but then he left. So I think Will Bonham chose the name, didn't he? Jackos Jackpot. And so far this season, we've won the last two. So we had Charlton to win and both teams to score at Southend, which won us about £30. And then we did like an open bet yesterday, which was Charlton to win 3-0, 3-1 or 3-2, which won us another 18 or so. So we've won £48 for the upbeat so far in the last couple of weeks. Hopefully we'll get the hat-trick on next week's show. Right, before we hear from Lyle Taylor, we've got one more email from Bob Knight. It says, hi guys, at the Bromley supporters meeting with Steve Gallen, he said they had Bowyer and Gallen in the Bromley supporters club during the week. He said, Steve Gallen said that we had to sell Konsa or we were in breach of the financial fair play. Does this mean that any potential buyer cannot bring in any new signings for a price, as we would risk a penalty? Presumably means in January there. It would then make sense that any buyer would then only be subsiding the loss until the income allowed them to spend. Could this be the reasons why the Aussies are not in any hurry? Might be wishful thinking, but everyone is struggling for an explanation. Now, I think it's been around for a little while now. It was in the Voice of the Valley fanzine yesterday that there appears to be about a £15 million difference between what the Aussies are willing or able to pay, probably more willing than able, and what Roland de Châtelet is willing to accept. So the longer this goes on, I mean, I know the club keeps saying that a price has been agreed, but sources seem to have confirmed to the likes of Rick and people in the know that either they haven't got the money or they're not happy to pay the ridiculous price that Roland's after.
You get the feeling that it'd be the second one, wouldn't it? That because on paper, everybody looking at it thinks, we're not worth 40 million or 45 or whatever it is he's asking for, even 35. What he's asking for. So you'd sort of, especially when you know who's involved in, at least one of the people that are involved in a consortium, who could probably, if he wanted to, pay out a pocket change. And that thing about the financial fair play thing, I don't quite get. Either. I mean, maybe because I don't know enough.
Yeah, Steve Gallen did say something about financial fair play. I read the notes from the meeting. You have to have a certain amount of money coming in to make you.
If that was purely the reason, then we wouldn't have sold him for 2 million to Brentford, would we?
I'm sure that's not the reason completely.
We'd have sold him for 5 or 6 to somebody else.
Did we sell him cheaper for cash?
Yeah,
well?
For cash.
Yeah, I mean, it's partly that Roland's obviously trying to get his money back as well in whatever way he can. But the financial fair play rules are still out there. I mean, Birmingham. The story is that they could be docked 12 points, I think, possibly. That was the story the other day. And QPR got a massive fine for it a couple of years ago. Look at QPR. They haven't exactly looked like they're going to get back in the Premier League anytime soon now, after they overspent to get there in the first place. And Birmingham themselves, I mean, they didn't even get near the Premier League. And they're still possibly going to lose 12 points. I think they were charged with signing a player whilst they're on some sort of embargo as well, which is interesting. Right. Matthias says, an ugly win yesterday, but it was a win. Onwards and upwards to Bradford. I think Phillips was unlucky to be dropped. I hope to see you at Bradford next week. Yes, Matthias, we'll see you up there. Myself and Terry are definitely going next week. Are you two going next week?
No, Bradford. Not about next.
Bradford?
Next one for me is Luton.
Lazy. Right, let's hear from Lyle Taylor. Obviously, he was Charlton's goal scorer yesterday. He was got the second goal. Normally the interview with the player after a game is saved for Monday, but this was agreed that this particular part of the interview we'll put out tonight, because we want to get as much coverage for this as possible. Now, Lyle Taylor will be dyeing his hair pink next month. Dyeing it at the end of this month is going to be pink for the entirety of October. He's also got some pink boots as well that he's going to be wearing. And Terry, in the press conference yesterday, asked why Lyle will be doing exactly that.
Yes, so my hair will be dyed on the 30th of September, and it will be pink for the whole of October, October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And obviously pink is the colour associated with cancer more frequently, more often than not. So that's why I'm doing it. I've got my pink boots all ready. I've worn them in as well, so they're ready to be worn. And what I'm going to do is I'll go pink. I think Sky Sports are going to come down and film it. It'll be at the training ground. We will film it, I'm sure. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be good, because as soon as somebody says to me, "Why have you got pink hair?" that's my job done. It's starting a conversation. And if we can start that conversation and it inspires one person who's in this stadium today or whenever it might be to do their own little bit, then that's what I'm trying to do. we are in a very fortunate position whereby we are revered and we are looked up to and idolised. And it's about me being able to give something back, especially when this is something that is close to my heart, and it's obviously affected me, my family, family, friends, and people close to me. So, and I'm sure there's a lot of people in this room it's affected as well, and it will continue to do that until we can raise enough money to beat it.
Will you have your own page set up for donations, or is it a good job?
I've got a giving page already set up. The link is in my bio on Instagram. And I will keep posting it here, there and everywhere, as often, as frequently as I can. Every time there's something come out in the newspaper, I'll refresh it in people's minds and keep putting it on my timeline, and hopefully we'll surpass the £2,000 target before the month has even started. And obviously I'll keep it open. I'll probably keep it open for the whole of November and close it probably as of the 1st of December, or maybe keep it open to the new year and just keep posting those pictures from that month and just seeing how much we can raise and how much of a stir we can cause.
Well, congratulations on that, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Your pink month, is that in tribute to your auntie died?
It's not just my auntie. Obviously my auntie passed away the morning before we played Charlton in the FA Cup. That was really tough. Obviously, my teammates didn't know anything about it. The only person that knew was the manager. And he said to me, he said, "What do you want to do?" And I said to him, I said, "The only thing I can do is do my job." Because it's very, very easy to sit at home and think. And the best thing for me was to go out there, do my job, and be around the people I had to be around, which was my teammates and my family there watching the game. It's still hard, obviously, thinking about it now. But my uncle is doing okay, as well as can be expected. Then obviously there's family, friends, and three of my grandparents, and it's for everybody who's ever been touched by it. It's not about me. I'm simply using the platform that I've been given to try and get people to take notice. And as I said, if I can get people to take notice, then I've done my job.
So it's Lyle Taylor there. Obviously, it's all about it. It's a cause close to his heart. It's a cause that's going to be close to everyone's heart. Unfortunately, cancer affects all of us. He mentioned there, now you may remember that when we played AFC Wimbledon in the FA Cup last season, Lyle Taylor scored twice, and it was only known, it only came out after that he'd died the day before. And you heard it in the interview there, the only thing he could do really was go out and play football, and he absolutely tore us to shreds that game. So all credit to him, but obviously it's something very difficult for him to talk about, something that's very close to his heart, and he's doing what he can with his high profile and his nice hair as well. So he's going to turn it pink, and it's going to, like I say, I mean, already it's got tongues wagging, hasn't it? Because even when we're up at Accrington Stanley after the game. We were standing around doing the interviews by the dressing room, and as Lyle Taylor came out, there was one of the local journalists up there, a female journalist, went up to Lyle to thank him. He said, "I've heard what you're doing." He'd been in the sun that day, I think, the story, and she went and said, "Oh, thank you. I've had breast cancer myself, so it's actually a really nice thing you're doing." So it's raising awareness. It's going to raise a load of money. We've just tweeted the link from the Charlton Live account, if you want to rate, if you want to donate to that. He's good. I think he's set a target of 2,000. He's most of the way there already, so he's going to smash that. So hopefully he'll up his target to about 10,000 by the end of the month. But you know, Lyle, we spoke to him yesterday. He seems like a top quality guy, doesn't he?
And yeah, he is, and very well spoken, very articulate, and a very intelligent footballer, which sometimes is a bit of a rarity. Bless him, but very well spoken, and clearly this cause is close to his heart for obvious reasons, as it will be to many people, because you said earlier, this horrible illness has touched so many different lives, it's a good opportunity to follow him on Instagram as well, because he's going to be posting all sorts of stuff on his Instagram account, and so if you wanted an excuse to follow him and not look like a stalker, now's the time.
Isn't that what Instagram's for, stalking footballers? Another thing that you can do, you may remember last year, well, it was only a few months ago really that we actually did it, but
Team, it still hurts.
Yeah, Team Addicts, we cycled from London to Amsterdam in, would have been the start of June, I guess it was, yeah. So we set off from the Olympic Velodrome in Stratford, got all the way up to Harwich on day one, 86 miles or so, took the overnight ferry to the Hook of Holland, then cycled from there to Amsterdam, another 56 miles or so on the second day. So that was my first time doing it. It's actually, I think it's the fourth time that Charlton have sent some representatives over, but I enjoyed the back pain and the sore ass so much that I've decided to do it again. So I've already signed up for next year.
As you were mentioning, like the 81 miles and the 46 miles, I'm looking at Nathan's face.
Yeah,
he's just signed up
because it's not just me who's signed
pain
up. Yeah,
came on his face. Then
Nathan is going to pop his bike ride cherry and join us.
I was looking forward to the bum pain.
Nathan, you've signed up as well, haven't you? Looking forward to it?
Signed up last night, and I'm starting to think why.
Yeah.
I'm a bit more happy to be old and crippled.
No, but yeah, it's obviously prostate cancer has affected my family, so I thought I'll do something. But I'm looking forward to it because it's a challenge.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward, because when I done the 23-mile walk for my little nephew's charity back in, when was it, May or whatever, if I'm anything like that afterwards, I'm not looking forward to it at all, because I couldn't walk for about 3 days.
Yeah, so so me and Nath have already signed up. Tracy Lieben, of course, who's going to be leading us, who signed up as well yesterday. Security guard Lee Hewitt here has signed up. James Moynard, who tweeted into the show earlier, I know he's signed up as well. That's weird. Exactly that moment, Lee Hewitt's just tweeted about that. That's really weird.
The fact that you've all signed up for it, boys, already makes you legends.
Yeah,
Dave.
David Waugh, who did it with us last year as well, he's signed up again. So it's tough. I ain't going to lie, Nath. You are going to have to do some training, and I'm going to have to get back on training as well.
No,
you're
thinking,
breeze this.
If I was sitting on a sofa, then it'd be all right.
We're all going to have to come back and do some training. So it is tough, but at the same time, it's really worthwhile. Last year, Team Addicts raised well over 30 grand, I think. Hopefully, there'll be quiz nights and stuff that we can do to raise the money as well. And as we say, it all goes to a good cause. And I met Dave on the ride last year. We're going to meet James this year, of course. And you get to meet other Charlton fans. And actually, once you've done it and you get there, the evenings are quite nice, and you have a good night out in Amsterdam. And it's a sense of achievement. And in my personal case as well, I actually got fit for a little while. I've lost it already now, but hopefully that'll get me back into shape. So if you want to sign up, I haven't got the link to hand, but if you just search Prostate Cancer UK London to Amsterdam, you'll see there's a way you can sign up. I don't know what the cut-off is, but there's an early bird discount at the moment of 50 quid. So it costs 125 if you sign up now. And then you have to pledge to make sure you get 1,200 quid's worth of donations. But like I say, between us, we should be able to get enough for Team Addicts. There'll be quiz nights and stuff that if you help out with, you'll get some of that donations towards your target. You know, I was surprised with how generous people are, but, you know, you've got a year to raise that sort of money. So, you know, if you fancy it, go ahead. And like I say, early bird 50 is the code. If you want to put that in when you sign up, you get 50 quid off, which would take it down to 125. You know, for that, you get all your hotel, the ferries, all the food and stuff. And it really is worthwhile. You obviously have to sort yourself a bike out and that, but you'll get a jacket and stuff. So, yeah, looking forward to that. And Nathan, you're looking forward to it?
I'm buzzing. I can't wait to start training, mate. When are we doing it? Tonight?
Yeah, cycling home, yeah. My bike is currently with my friend because he's doing London Brighton next week, so I've given it to him for the last couple of months. So I'm looking forward to getting that back and getting back out there and doing some training. Right, a couple more messages come in on the Charlton Life Forum. Rudders 22. Hi guys, I went to Bowyer's Q&A session in Bromley last week. I was one of the boycotters for obvious reasons. When Roland's left, thank God. When Robbo's left, thank God, I started going to games again only because of Bowyer. This is credit to him. Bought a season ticket this year, convinced we would be sold. Yeah, right. At the start of the season, I dreaded and thought we would struggle to stay up. But then after going to Peterborough at home, although we couldn't break them down, I like the hard-working team that Bowyer has created. At the game yesterday, and you saw a very nervy side, but also a side of Charlton on what they can do. I'm so patient with this team. They're developing over time and getting better game by game. I do feel that this is a start of momentum. Excuse me. We are playing in small patches, but those small patches will get better and better over the season as it goes on. There are no outstanding teams in this league. I think Sunderland and Barnsley will be up there, but they're no Wigan or Blackburn. Bowyer has got some good players in with some championship experience. I can't remember the last time we had a striker on 4 goals in 8 games. So I think actually McGuinness was probably on 4 by this time last season, if not much time after. Which I think serves as a warning for us not getting too carried away. But, you know, Taylor does look better than him, if we're being honest. And Grant's chipping in as well at this stage of the season. Look at the players coming in. Cullen Ward, Vetekele, when fit. Lapsley is getting better game by game. He reads the game very well. Good passing. And the way he is playing at the moment, you would never think it was his first season playing in the first team. Good pass with the ball. Reads the game very well and links up well. An intelligent player. I mean, Rudder's there talking about how he said he's confident as well that we'll be in the playoffs at least. I was thinking about this the other day. Now, you know, I mean, you can't not be impressed with what Bowyer's achieved in terms of the transfer market, considering he's got his hands firmly tied behind his back in terms of budget. He's clearly had to be very clever with what he's done. But, you know, as I was panicking all throughout the summer, just saying, just get anyone in, fill the squad up. But he said he was going to get certain types of players, and he's done so, and they have all improved the squad from what I've seen.
Yeah, exactly that. I think even you look at obviously Cullen and especially like Ward, who's come in. I'm surprised that we've got someone of Ward's calibre, because he is a championship player for me. But going back to Prattley, something we didn't have last year, and what is easy to do when you have a small squad is you tend just to go on numbers and not in terms of quality. So you just get people in for the sake of it, and it never works. And Bowyer said all throughout the summer, even when we only signed one, I'm not going to sign anyone for the sake of it. It's got to be quality. It's got to improve us, because then what's the point in bringing someone in who isn't as good as George Lapsley? But yeah, I think all the signings he's done has definitely improved us. And once you still got, obviously, Igor Vetekele is like a new signing, you know. So yeah, I think I'm with him. After I think we're comfortably top six. I think.
Yeah, it's interesting the comparisons to last season, because we started quite well last season as well. As you said, Josh McGuinness was on 4 quite early on, and we looked like a really good side. But that side was a good first, I don't know, what, 12, 13? You'd say that it, had they all kept fit and played consistently for 6 months or however long it was, then you'd fancy us to already been up near the playoffs for a lot longer. But that didn't work out because, you know, injuries kicked in. And we realised, actually, beyond that 13, 14 maybe at a push, we didn't have a lot. I think that's slightly different now, and I think Ward and Cullen adding to the sort of 12 and 13 we probably already have, it's just, I mean, it's not a huge difference, but it makes a little bit of a difference, and that, I think that showed yesterday. The fact that we could bring Reeves back on, albeit for virtually his first proper game, because I don't count the checker trade, and Lapsley has come on, and that's without Ward and Cullen, who are away on international duties. And so how strong would that bench have looked if you had those two?
It would have been different.
If you had Fosu, who's suspended, not injured.
Clark coming back,
isn't it? It starts to look a much stronger outfit.
Yeah, thankfully. Right, London and Geezer, I think, possibly prompted by the mention of Robbo in that last last message just put, oh, Robbo lost again today.
Oh, they did, commentary.
Yeah, they lost 2-1 at home to commentary. I watched only watched the last 20 minutes or so. I noticed Carl Robinson seems to be serving some sort of touchline ban at the moment.
Was he?
Yeah, so he was up. He was quite weird. He looked like a TV director. He was just up in the background with the analysts, so he was just standing by a screen watching everything that was going
on.
But
be really weird when he comes in.
Yeah, well, I look forward to it. Right, Mendon Quinasters then finally, this was an exciting 2 hours on Friday or Thursday, wasn't it? Mendon Quinasters says, any truth in the rumours that we're going to be taken over by Alisher Usmanov, the ex-Arsenal director? No idea where the rumours came from. Obviously...
hasn't he already come out and said no?
Yeah, basically no, yeah. So there was an exciting... It was Thursday night that the Mirror ran with a story online saying that the ex-Arsenal... He was one of the co-owners at Arsenal. He owned about 30-odd percent, I think. And because Kroenke had bought out other ones, he was then entitled to make an offer or had to make an offer for Usmanov's shares and eventually accepted them. Apparently got sort of like a £600 million windfall. And there was a story in the Mirror that he was going to put that money into us, come in and take us over.
In the Mirror should have said everybody's alarm bells.
Yeah, you know, apparently there was some sort of chat around, or someone might try and ask him if he fancied it, and that turned into the story. But I mean, the Mirror wouldn't run with it unless they'd heard something. They wouldn't just make it up. But unfortunately, it lasted all the 3 hours, and it came out and got rebuted by the man himself, or his spokespeople, who said that he won't be investing in us. But I mean, imagine, yeah, there was just those, like, let's say 3 hours where I was like, oh, we are going to be the next Man City, thank God. Didn't happen. So a real shame in the end. Right, we've almost run out of time. Just have a quick look ahead to Bradford. We'll do it properly on Thursday. But I mean, they were 2-0 up with 6 minutes left to go at Blackpool yesterday before succumbing to a 3-2 defeat. So even if we're 5-0 down in injury time next week, I still won't be writing us off.
Thing is, we're good at that as well, aren't we? Yeah. Conceding last minute goals, so the pair of us could be chaos.
It has
that
the
last
potential
10 minutes.
To have, like, it'd be a 12 goal thriller.
Yeah.
They got two penalties, didn't they, in the last fight? And Jace Bearing got them. Well, he missed the second one but scored the rebound.
Yeah, so. Looking forward to going up there, Tell?
Always, yeah. I mean, it's a friendly place to go, to be fair.
Yeah. Proper ground Bradford, as well. I like Bradford.
As long as it doesn't rain.
Yeah, last year, your
electrical equipment couldn't stand it, I don't
think. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, last year my laptop screen filled with water because the press box is uncovered, basically.
Pretty much.
And it was the middle of Storm. Was it Storm Brian or something like that? I can't remember what it was called at the time.
Yeah,
but
it didn't get ruined by a decent name Storm.
Nah, but it was the
Storm Igor.
We're just talking about the walk back to the station after. I've got absolutely soaking, but we were laughing at the boat last year. We decided
Mr. Binbag.
He was going to wrap himself up in bin bags before leaving the press room last year.
He probably got to his car nice and dry. We were absolutely
he was probably laughing at you in his car going,
I'm bringing him with me next week.
I hope he turns up in those same bin bags.
Hasn't taken them off.
Turns out that's just what he wears. Right, well, we have run out of time on tonight's Charlton Live. It's been a really enjoyable one. Thanks to all of you guys for getting involved, having a chat about yesterday's 3-2 victory over Wycombe Wanderers. Thanks to Lee Bowyer for coming in and talking to Terry, and of course Lyle Taylor for talking to us as well after the game. Thanks, it's been a packed studio. Tom Walling, you're throwing a ball up in the air in celebration. Yeah,
clocked off.
Yeah, thank you for coming in this evening.
Cheers.
Nathan Muller, good to have you.
See you later, mate.
And us three will be back on Thursday. You're not slacking off this week.
No, yeah, I'll turn up this week.
Excellent.
Right. Allowing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Terry Smith, thanks for coming in.
Cheers, guys.
And I'll see you up there next week up at Bradford City. Right, I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks to all of you for having your say on tonight's show, on the emails, the tweets, and on the forum. We hope you've enjoyed it. We'll see you back here on Thursday evening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.